Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on evolving situation in West Asia. The participants are Anil Trigunayath, former ambassador, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
The West Asia region, long recognized as a geopolitical hotspot, is once again at the center of global attention due to recent escalations in conflict and shifting alliances. Today, we are joined by Ambassador Anil Trigunayath, who brings a wealth of experience in international relations and trade policy. We delve into the complexities of the current West Asian crisis, explore its far-reaching impact on international and Indian trade, and discuss the diplomatic, economic, and strategic responses being considered. Welcome to Akashvani, Ambassador Anil Trigunayath.
Thank you so much.
Ambassador, how do you assess the current escalation of conflict in West Asia, particularly between Israel and Iran, and what are its broader geopolitical implications for the region and beyond?
Well, it is one of the most disastrous war, and it can expand into one if it is not stopped now. The reason is very simple, because Iran and Israel, at least since 1979, have been indulging in this mutually assured destruction syndrome, considering one another as an existential threat, and are competing with each other essentially through arms, ammunition, asymmetric warfare, clandestine warfare. But this is the first time in the last 1.5 years that we have seen that they have indulged in direct attacks on one another, because they don't have a common land boundary. They are 1,200 kilometers apart. And therefore, this is mostly going to be an aerial or a naval warfare. Of course, Israel has great air superiority over them, but Iran has tried to compensate it by having more long-range ballistic and hypersonic missiles. So both are armed to the teeth, and therefore, this was expected that this is going to cause the biggest dislocation and destruction in the region, which is further complicated by the fact that United States has more than 25 bases in the region with over 15,000 their armed forces. So Iran so far has been working apparently in the cause of Palestine through Hamas, Hezbollah and Houthis, which were his so-called asymmetric arms, to provide it a certain kind of an advantage against any regional power as well as against Israel. So we have seen since October 7, this war has been going on, and Israel has been engaged in decimating Hamas, decapitating Hezbollah leadership, trying to challenge Houthis, who have not so far been subjugated. And therefore, they directly this time decided to take on Iran. And the reason was very simple, that they do not want Iran to acquire the nuclear parity with them. That is the only thing. If United States, as has been requested by Israelis, joins it, then obviously this will become far more dangerous.
So in your view, Ambassador, what role can diplomacy play in de-escalating tensions in West Asia? And what initiatives has India undertaken to promote dialogue among the key stakeholders?
Well, unfortunately, the diplomacy has been given a pass in the recent times. We have seen it. There is no international order that is really effectively, efficiently operating today. And because Iran will be supported by China and Russia, that besides all the Arab countries today are standing with them, because they feel that if the Iranian sovereignty could be breached with such ease, they may not be far behind. So that's why they are all together. Plus, they don't want to become a collateral in the bargain. So I see the diplomacy is currently, everybody is issuing statements. A lot of statements are happening, and everybody is trying to appeal to the good sense of President Trump. So my view, if President Putin and President Trump jointly wish to stop it, then it is quite possible, because Putin has a good hold over Iranians, and the Americans are the only ones who have a hold on Israel. Prime Minister Modi and Dr. Jaishankar have been engaged. They have been talking to all the world leaders, whether in G7, and Netanyahu directly called Prime Minister Modi. And also everywhere we have been asking for dialogue and diplomacy. Yesterday in Croatia, Prime Minister says that the solution cannot be found on the battlefield. Dialogue and diplomacy are the only ways. And India has offered to mediate and be a facilitator for a dialogue between the two sides for stopping the hostilities.
And since you're talking about the situation that's prevalent today in West Asia. Let's hear a report from our Dubai correspondent, Vinod.
Tensions continue to mount as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the nation just hours after Iranian missiles struck multiple sites, including Soroka Medical Center in Beersheba, where he vowed to remove Iran's nuclear, ballistic and missile threats. The strike on the hospital has triggered international condemnation, with Israeli authorities calling it a clear violation of international humanitarian law. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps claimed that the intended target was military infrastructure near the hospital, not the medical facility itself. Meanwhile, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz has declared the elimination of Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei as one of the Israel's core war objectives, an unprecedented escalation in a conflict long dominated by proxy warfare and limited direct engagement. Israeli military sources report that Iran has begun using sophisticated multi-warhead missiles designed to evade interception by splitting mid-air into multiple projectiles, posing a serious new threat to Israel's defense capabilities. The conflict has forced Iranian missile units to relocate from western regions to more central areas of the country, according to intelligence reports. This repositioning appears to be a defensive measure following sustained Israeli bombardment of military installations and command centers in Iran. The relocation has reportedly reduced the frequency and intensity of Iranian missile barrages against Israeli targets.
Ambassador, the World Trade Organization has revised its global trade growth outlook downwards, actually, due to the West Asia crisis. What are the main channels through which the conflict is impacting global trade flows?
Well, if you remember, since the October 7, that war by Israelis began against Hamas, and it is continuing even after 2 years, despite Israel being the strongest military in the region, we have seen the Houthis have taken the lead, and even the Americans and no one else could really contain them despite the fight. So Americans got to deal with them. So now currently the only the Israeli ships, they are doing it. We have seen the Eilat port of Israel has gone bankrupt, declared bankruptcy. Now with Iran attacking the Haifa port, that will also impact the trade. Israel in return attacking the Iranian ports, the oil basically producing facilities. So that will also impact on the supplies of oil. And if Iran further takes action against various countries in the region who are hosting the American bases, it will also have a problem. And Houthis have actually stopped the trade through the Red Sea. I mean, that is something that has increased the cost of trade, insurance costs, and also that's overall trading, because 80% of the trade was passing through that channel and through the Suez Canal and others. So everything has become impacted in that bargain. And that's why the WTO's the statistics indicates it very clearly. And it could become much worse because we have many, many conflicts around the world, and the trade and connectivity are the ones that get impacted quite a lot, apart from the disruption in value and supply chains.
What you just mentioned about the disruptions in critical shipping routes like the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, how significant are the ripple effects on the global supply chains and logistics cost? And how is this volatility in global oil market, which is driven, of course, by the situation currently in West Asia, affecting energy importing economies worldwide?
Well, look at India. Since the Russia-Ukraine war began, we had seen that the European countries started importing a lot of Middle Eastern oil and all. India went to Russia and started importing about 40% of its crude at discounted rates. And that helped us maintain the stabilize the prices. And still, we are dependent on the Middle East for about 60% of our requirements. And therefore, if there is a disruption, that will be not only raise the costs, but also supplies. And that will have a cyclical impact on our energy and our industry and our growth. And so that's why we need to have alternative markets and connective routes which are immune from it for a certain period of time. Same thing we have seen in many other countries which are oil dependent, most of the Asian economies for that matter. So Japan will have, South Korea will have, because those are dependent on the Middle Eastern markets in that sense, or suppliers. And therefore, we'll have to see the impact will not be immediate, but from immediate to short term to mid term, we will see a much bigger, if it continues to escalate the war. I mean, that is something that is very important.
Ambassador, India's reliance on the international north-south transport corridor and other alternative routes has been highlighted amid disruptions. How is India recalibrating its trade strategy to reduce dependence on conflict-prone corridors?
Well, you cannot say that A corridor is conflict prone or B is not, because it can happen anytime. The global situation keeps on changing. When we signed up for the IMEC, for example, at that time, there were not really major problems there. But then October 7 happened in a month's time, and we have had this problem that things have to be slowed down or put in a back burner for some time. This corridor has been also subjected to exterior sanctions, unilateral sanctions on Russia and Iran by U.S. and the Western countries. So therefore, this trade could not achieve its full potential. But first, India is very keen on this. We have got a long-term project in Chabahar Port, which is a very critical port for our access to Afghanistan, Iran, and Central Asia, which are very, very important for us. We have another corridor, Eastern Corridor, with the Kaladan Highway in Burma and, with BIMSTEC countries. Now, that is something that is, again, because of problems in Myanmar, has run into headwinds. So we have tried all these. But then, as you know, that India is a leader in services sector. And therefore, the services which constitute the largest part share of our GDP are also not so dependent on these kind of connectivity corridors indirectly. Of course, the new corridors that we're thinking of will have the data connectivity, digital connectivity, and energy connectivity, all those. So I think that we'll need to continue to explore options and working together with other like-minded countries, create relationships both in trade, try to have the free trade agreements as we had with the UK very recently, the latest one we have with the UAE, we are working with Oman, with GCC, with New Zealand, and many other countries, including the United States. So that will also provide us a good market access and the possibility of carrying on with our objectives.
There are reports, Ambassador, that the conflict has impacted basmati rice exports and created payment delays with Iranian buyers. How is the government engaging with affected exporters and ensuring payment security?
Well, I think that with the Iranians, at one time, when we were buying oil from them, the trade was vastly in their favor. So because we were importing about 12% of our oil, but then due to the CARSA sanctions by America, this has virtually come down to zero. So our trade remains not so big as it used to be. And therefore, the payment mechanisms do have an issue. And I think we have a bilateral mechanism under which we are discussing whether we could use some of these bilateral systems that we have with several countries. India, as you know, has signed UPI agreements with more than 20 countries to avoid the transaction cost and dependency on third currency. So I think that it will be worked upon with that. And I'm sure the Ministry of External Affairs and our embassy are engaged in the matter. And the Iranians are trying to find ways and means to pay. There have not been defaults in the past, and they have been good trading partners.
Okay, Ambassador, given the potential for further escalation, what contingency plans does India have in place to secure its energy needs and maintain trade stability?
Well, I think it will be a very significant impact. As I told you, for us, the regional stability and security is virtually existential, in my view. So we'll have to start working on. We are already getting supplies from Russia. As you know, about 40% of our requirements are coming from Russia. We'll have to start looking elsewhere. But then what do you do about the choke points? Because the choke points, at least for some time till this war gets over, will be infested with this. So we'll have to deploy more of our navy in the region to secure commercial shipping and identify new sources of energy. Of course, we are increasing the production of our renewable energy a great deal. We have been one of the fastest growing in that sense. But that will have to be expedited, I'm quite sure. Nuclear energy and other forms of energy, so that the dependency on transit routes could be minimized to a great extent. But that's not, at least for next 30 years, we will have to continue to depend on the hydrocarbons.
Ambassador, thank you so much for being with Akashvani. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on evolving situation in West Asia. The participants were Anil Trigunayath, former ambassador, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.